Good morning, Grace Point. How's everyone doing? Good. Loving this nice weather. All right. I feel like every Canadian almost like says stuff about the weather. You know, oh yeah, weather's good. How's the day? Oh, weather's good. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. All right. So if we haven't had the chance to meet yet, my name is Danielle Sikaner. My husband Kevin's sitting in the front row, or second row. My parents are there, and then my aunt came in from Calgary today, which was awesome. And, you know, if you were here last time when I spoke, I mentioned that I have this little thing called achondroplasia dwarfism, which is a gene mutation that affects my growth. And in other words, what I like to say is that the Lord thought that I was perfect a lot sooner than all of you. You know, that's just my thing. Sorry, also, Kevin's perfect, too. Like, I gotta remember that. I'm also an extrovert. I like public speaking. I'm fine being in a crowd. I love people. I'm quite outgoing. And when I was younger, you know, I didn't have a problem of, I don't know, maybe using the word being the center of attention, but I don't know. I was fine with that. And a couple of years ago, my dad, he got a lot of our old family videos digitized, and he played them for us at Christmas. So we got to watch and reminisce over all these young family videos. And you know, sometimes that's really fun because you get to see, you know, memories and cute things. And for me, it was a little embarrassing because I really realized actually how much I loved the camera. And so I thought to embarrass myself just a little bit more, but to give you a little bit of insight into what I'm saying today, I brought some of these videos. And so we're going to play them right now on the screen.
Hi.
Oh, you make pizza, and I'm gonna take some photos.
That's me. Yeah. Hi. I see, Daddy. You bring this here. I so I can see.
Hey. Hey. Those are.
Daddy, hi, Daddy.
Hi, Danielle. Cheese. Through your tunnel one more time first?
Yeah.
Okay, go through your tunnel one more time.
Careful.
Oh,
up and down.
People on the bus go up and down.
Oh, Dana.
Right.
See me. In Bible, tell me. So see me. I'll see me.
Danielle, do you want to say the ABCs for Grandma? Say ABCs.
Yes, me.
Very good.
Hi. Daddy, can you turn this up? Daddy, up. Tiger up. I can't see it. I can't see. Tiger. Stay down. I can't see me, Dad.
See me, Dad. See me. See me, Dad. All right, I know. Super cute. A little bossy, but that's how it is. For those of you who are taking notes today, the title of my message is called The God Who Sees Me. And now, obviously, in those videos, you know, I wanted my dad to notice me. See me, Dad? Put the camera on me. I wanted his attention because he had a camera. But sometimes, you know, there are moments in life where we genuinely just feel very unseen. For example, there's waiting seasons that we go through. We can feel overlooked and not seen in those. Maybe unanswered dreams where we put all our hopes in this one thing that just didn't work out. Maybe it's a failed relationship. Maybe it's an abusive one. Perhaps maybe just life just hits you hard and you just feel really unseen, like people don't understand. And now if we pause for a moment and think about this, I think we can all think about and have some sort of understanding that maybe we don't feel seen today. We desperately want to feel understood. Most of us, you know, we desire to be liked to some extent, but we just want to feel seen. And now our text today, it's a wild story. I would call it almost more of like a modern day show on TLC if it was happening today. There's a woman in the story, and she's struggling to have a child, and she gets impatient, and so she commands her husband to sleep with her maid. And so he does, big mistake. She gets pregnant, the woman gets mad, she starts abusing this maid that she forced her husband to sleep with so that she could have a child, and now this maid runs away. But at the core of this story lies a woman, and her name's Hagar, and Hagar is clearly overlooked and unseen in her situation. But she encounters God, and he gives her a promise that's too good to be true. So today, before you go and you start thinking about all the things that you have to do after church, the list of things that you got to accomplish, maybe the bills that have to be paid, the conversations you might need to have, I just want to invite you just to quiet your mind today. Just to sit here present for the next 25, maybe 30-ish minutes. Let's be still in the presence of God together. Let's listen to what God might be wanting to say, because I believe that every single time we open God's word, that there is a new thing that he wants to share with us. So no matter what you're going through, what you're coming with in today, what you have to do after the service, God has something specifically for you. It says that his word is alive and active, that he is a present God. He is omnipresent, and he has something, I believe, for you today. And in this series, you know, we've been looking at stories of people like you and I who have experienced God's presence. And it's God's life-changing presence that is available for us today. So let's sit in his word together, and I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll read the text. So, Lord God, thank you for this day. Thank you that we get the privilege to sit under your word. Thank you that we have your spirit to minister to us. Thank you for your son, Jesus, who did the one thing that we could never do, and that we are reconciled to you, that we have hope in you, that there is freedom in you. And no matter where we're at today, Lord, I pray that you would see us, that you would see us fully, and that we would understand that we are seen by you. And so speak to us today. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, so this story takes place in Genesis 16, and it's right at the front of your Bibles, and it's right before this story. God has given Abraham this promise of having a child, and from that child, he's going to have many descendants. But the thing is, Abram and Sarai have yet to have a child. They're getting a little older, things are getting a bit impatient, and the frustration is building. And then this is where we find ourselves in our story today, Genesis 16, 1 to 15. The verses will be behind me on the screen. Now Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave, Hagar, and gave her to her husband to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. When she knew she was pregnant, she began to despise her mistress. Then Sarai said to Abram, "You are responsible for the wrong I am suffering. I put my slave in your arms, and now that she knows she's pregnant, she despises me. May the Lord judge between you and me." Verse 6, "Your slave is in your hands," Abram said. "Do with her whatever you think best." Then Sarai mistreated Hagar, so she fled from her. Verse 7, "The angel of the Lord found Hagar near a spring in the desert. It was the spring that is beside the road to Shur. And he said, 'Hagar, slave of Sarai, where have you come from and where are you going?' 'I'm running away from my mistress Sarai,' she answered. Then the angel of the Lord told her, 'Go back to your mistress and submit to her.' The angel added, 'I will increase your descendants so much that they will too numerous to count.' The angel of the Lord also said to her, 'You are now pregnant and you will give birth to a son. You shall name him Ishmael, for the Lord has heard of your misery. He will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against everyone and everyone's hand against him, and he will live in hostility towards all his brothers.' She gave this name to the Lord who spoke to her." I love this. "You are the God who sees me. For she said, 'I have now seen the one who sees me.'" That is why the well was called Beer Lahairoi. It is still there between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram gave the name Ishmael to the son she had born. Wow, what a text. You are the God who sees me. And so what I want to draw our attention to is the angel, he asked Hagar two very important questions. He says, one, where have you come from and where are you going? And have you ever noticed that some questions, you know, they have really obvious answers? It's like when you're young and you're in the kitchen and you grab the cookie jar and your hand's in the cookie jar, your face has crumbs all over it, you're like neck deep in cookies and your mom walks in and she's like, what are you eating? You know, she knows what you're eating, right? Like you're caught red-handed. She knows. These questions weren't for God's benefit, okay? He knew what was happening. He already knew her situation. He knew where she came from. But questions, they actually help draw us out of our present circumstances, and they cause us to reflect on what is really going on. Hagar, we see in the text, she answers honestly, and she says, I'm running away. My life is tough. I'm running away. And here's another thing. You see, an honest question has the tendency to force us to be honest with ourselves. And here we see Hagar, she was honest with God. And when we are honest with God, it invites him to meet us exactly where we are. Hey God, see me. See me, God, see me. See where I'm at, see what I'm going through. Do you see my situation, God? This is me. This is what I've done. This is what's happened to me. See me, God. See, Hagar's situation, it was extremely unfair. From what we see in the text, we know that she was a slave. We know that she was low in society, that she was a woman in a man's world, and she was forced to sleep with Abram. The Bible is clear that she was being mistreated by the people she worked for, so she did the only thing she could do, was she fled. And don't get me wrong, fleeing wouldn't have been the easiest choice either, because she was leaving a home. She was leaving, you know, a really unfortunate circumstance to go into an even more unfortunate circumstance. She was running away. She didn't know where she was going. But then she encounters God, and she's honest with him. And so what about you today? Let's just pose the question. If you're honest with yourself, what's the question that God is inviting you to be honest about? Maybe you feel like Hagar and you feel like you're running from something. I've been there. Maybe you've lost all hope, or maybe you feel forgotten. But then I love what happens next. I love this. God doesn't abandon her in her pain. He doesn't see it all and say, oof, okay, well, yep, good luck with that. That's your situation, not mine. He doesn't say that. Because let's remember that she didn't even go looking for God. She wasn't looking for him. This girl was running away. But God came in and he gave her an opportunity to be honest with where she was at. And then he gave her something to hold on to. Verses 9 and 10, he says, then the angel of the Lord told her, go back to your mistress and submit to her. Then the angel added, I will increase your descendants so much that they will be too numerous to count. So God gave Hagar a promise. He gave her something that was too good to be true. He gave her his presence. And it was in her darkest moment that she realized that she was seen by God, that the God of the universe sees her. And that empowered her to go back and hold on to hope, and she had a promise to hold on to for a brighter future for her descendants. And this was, in a way, you know, it's like a redemptive promise. It was a redemptive promise because Hagar, she was treated by Abram and Sarai as their plan B. You know, they got a little impatient and they used her as their plan B, but for God, he never forgot about her. He provided for her and he redeemed her situation. He gave her significance by promising her a child and a line of many descendants. And within that moment of encountering God, she went from, I need to get myself out of this situation. I gotta run away. I don't know what to do. To being empowered to go back and hold onto the promise that God gave her. And you see, it's not that her circumstances change. You know, I think we could all agree, you know, just becoming a Christian doesn't mean that life automatically gets 100% easier, right? God doesn't just make everything comfortable. But she went back with a new mindset. She encountered the living God. She encountered the God who sees her, and she truly felt seen, that he saw her situation. He saw her circumstances and said, you know what, I see you. I'm gonna help you through that, and I'm gonna give you a way to do it. She found hope in God, and all of a sudden, it was like she was exposed to this new perspective, and that changed everything. And I think that's really good news for us today, because when we encounter God, that means that it has the potential to truly change everything. In 2018, I was walking home one night alone. I was living in Montreal, and I've told this story before, so I'm gonna share it again, because it's incredible what God did. And so I was walking home alone, and there was a man who was on the corner, street corner, and he was on drugs, and he was acting a little crazy. And I remember walking down the street, and he saw me, and the moment he saw me, he started yelling at me. He started saying things that I'm not gonna repeat in church, but he was saying things to the effect of, I can't believe you look this way. What am I looking at? You look crazy. Like, I look crazy. You're the one yelling at me, bro. Like, what the heck? But he's yelling at me, and I had no idea what to do. I was alone. It was dark, and I was by myself. So I did the only thing I knew what to do, and I put my head down, and I walked home. And I started crying, and I was walking into my apartment, and I keyed into my door, and I walked up the stairs, and then I went into my apartment. I sat on the couch, and I just cried. Who would do that to someone, I thought. I didn't ask to be made this way. I didn't ask to look this way. I didn't ask for that to happen. Who would do that? So I did the only thing that I knew I could possibly do, and I looked up to my ceiling, and I said, God, what the heck? That is not fair. You made me this way, so you better come down and fix this. I was honest with God. I didn't know what to do. I was scared to go back outside, and I just laid it all out there. I said, God, you better come down and fix this. And I remember sitting there, and my tears stopped, and all of a sudden, I felt this little nudge, and this little thought came into my mind, and it said, go back out there and buy him dinner. Sorry, what? Go back out there and buy that guy dinner? Do you not see what he just did? No, I'm not doing that. And then it happened again. Go back out there and buy him dinner. And I couldn't shake that thought this time. You know, when the Lord is speaking and the Lord is prompting you to do something, sometimes it's just too hard. You just can't ignore it. And so I remember I put on my boots, I grabbed my wallet, I went outside, and so I started praying, and I prayed, and I said, okay, Lord, if this is you, then he's gonna be there when I go back. And if this is not you, then I'm just gonna walk home and I'm gonna look like, I don't know, it's not you. But then again, if it is you, then you better give me the words to say, because I don't want to be doing this and I don't know what to say. So then I walked outside, and I'm turning around the corner, and I see him, and he's standing on that street corner. I'm like, great, this is it. So I remember I walked up to him, and he looked at me again, and he starts yelling at me, he starts laughing, and I walked right up to him, and I stuck out my hand, and I said, hi, my name's Danielle, can I buy you dinner? And his jaw just dropped to the floor, like one of those Looney Tunes cartoons where he just drops to the floor. And he looked at me and he said, I'll never forget this. He said, you would do that for me? You would do that for me? And I said, yeah, I'll buy you anything you want. So we went into the McDonald's and I bought him food. And for the next 15 minutes, we just talked. He told me about his life. He told me that he was separated from his family, that he hadn't seen them in a long time, that he was actually from the Vancouver area, which I thought was kind of cool because we were in Montreal. And then his food came, and I thought I should probably pray for him since I'm a Christian, and that's probably the right thing to do. So I said, hey, like, I'm a Christian. Do you mind if I pray for you? And he said, yeah, you know, I used to know God a long time ago. That would be really great. So in the middle of this McDonald's, this little 4'1" dwarf and this man with tattoos all over his face and who had just yelled at me 30 minutes earlier, we gathered, I put my hand on his shoulder and I prayed for him. And then we left. It was so crazy because when we said our goodbyes, I felt so close to him, so comfortable with him that I could have given him a hug. And I thought it was amazing, and it was a really cool story that God redeemed. And then a few years go by and I stopped seeing him. But the story gets better, and this is what I love about God, is that sometimes we go through really hard things, but maybe you just needed to be reminded today that your story isn't over. that what God is doing in and through your circumstances, that what he's doing in your hardships, that he's not done working it out. Because 5 years go by, and I was sitting right back there, right at that back door, and I was about to give my first message. This was back in December, here at community dinner. And I was standing right there, and all of a sudden the doors open, and in walks Shane. 2,000 miles away, this man, 5 years earlier, walks into our church, insane, Montreal, Vancouver, that's a long way to go. And he walks in with his wife and his three kids, and he remembers me, and I remember him, and we said hi, and he told me that, you know, shortly after I met him and that we prayed, that his wife actually came back to Montreal to find him and to bring him home, and that he has given his life back to Jesus, and he's reconciled with his wife and with his kids, and he gets to be a dad. And the biggest thing from this story is that God saw me in my pain, and he gave me a way forward. He asked me to go buy someone dinner. And God saw Shane, and he led him back home in this church. It's so crazy. And so when we are seen by God, when we are fully seen by God, we don't have to vie for his attention. His attention is already on us. We don't have to make a show or do anything rash or jump in front of the camera and say, hey, Dad, see me, see me. He already sees us. We don't have to push his buttons, you know? We don't have to toe the line of what's okay and what's not. We don't have to get him to turn his face towards us because he is already fully looking at you. We don't have to get everything right either. When God sees us, he sees us as fully loved, fully forgiven, fully set apart, and fully taken care of. That it might not feel like you're taken care of right now, but he sees you and he is working it out. Psalm 23, David writes, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me." Verse 5, "You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely, surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." You see, church, God's presence, it changes us. It really changes us. We see clearer. We become more aware of who we are, of who he is. We experience him in a way that brings us more peace, more love, more joy, more patience. Hallelujah for that. He renews our minds. He gives us the courage to face our circumstances, and we are able to remember that we don't face them alone. For you, God, are the God who sees me. He is the God that sees you. So I'm going to ask that question just one more time. What are you running from today? What are you hiding from? Can we be honest with ourselves in church today? What are you running from today? What is that cookie jar question that God is asking you? Because he knows your situation, right? What is he asking you? Has God asked you to forgive someone? Has he asked you to stop that sinful habit? Or maybe you're just running from pain, and it's hard, and it's tiring to run. Maybe you've lost your sense of perspective, and you just feel a little numb to life this morning. Is he asking you just to turn back to him, to turn your face towards him, and just say, hey, God, see me, because he sees you? Have your circumstances just become so overwhelming that God feels far away, and you've let yourself believe that he's forgotten you? Are you running from that? When God sees us, he sees everything. And that includes a way forward. God never asks us to go where he has not already been. He saw Hagar and he gave her something to do. He gave her a way forward and a promise to hold on to. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are God's handiwork." Another translation says that we are his masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. He gave Hagar an instruction and a promise, and that's the same thing for us today. That therefore, what I believe is that God truly, truly, truly has a plan for your life, and he has a plan for what to do, and he will see you through it. So how do we, hold on to that? How do we believe that today? I know this can be a little heavy, right, answering these questions of, God, what am I running from? What am I going through? It's tough to be honest. But that's where we're just going to start today. We're just going to start with being honest. Because honesty invites God to meet us exactly where we are. No more of these, I'm fine, I'm good, yeah, no problem. Let's be honest with God today. We need to be honest. And for some of us, that might just be admitting that we can't do it alone anymore. We need a little bit more help. That the way things are going just aren't gonna cut it. For others, it might be confession. Maybe we need to confide in a close friend. Maybe we need to confide in the Lord about things. Maybe it's a conversation you need to have, or maybe it's a prayer that you need to pray. Whatever it is, we need to be honest with God. So now I'm gonna invite the worship team to come up and we're gonna sing a song of response. And what I love about all of this, and we're in this moment, is that as Christians today, we have the promise of Jesus, that God has given us one of the greatest promises ever, that he has given us his son, that he sent his son to do the one thing that we could never do, that he reconciled us to his son, that he gave us eternal life, freedom, and hope in Christ, that God truly saw us. And he saw us to the point of sending Jesus to do the things that we could never do. He gave us an everlasting hope that when we walk through hard things, and we will, we might be walking through them now, that Jesus himself, he promises to be with us always to the very end of the age. And that is one of the greatest promises that we can hold on to. So as we sing today, I just want you to think about those questions. Think about what you can be honest about God with. But then remember that you have the greatest promise in Jesus.